Well, I made the mistake this afternoon of looking at the DVDs from the Acts class that I taught last winter. I suppose the content was all right. I didn't get past that. I didn't get to that because of the other thing I'm going to tell you about. As I began to look at that DVD, I began to feel sorry for that old man that was teaching that class. Good night, he's old. Have you ever seen a DVD of yourself? It's scary. It is really scary. I felt so sorry for him. I thought they were going to wind up taking the old guy out on a stretcher or something, you know. He made it through the first lessons. I didn't look beyond that. Oh, I just needed a little bit of encouragement, so I was glad that I chose the text that I did. I invite your attention to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians in chapter 4. Paul is giving his last words to a group of people he loved dearly, many of whom were led to the Lord by his own ministry as the Spirit of God used what he did to touch the hearts of people. In the previous chapter, let me begin about verse 14, so we're the previous chapter, chapter 3, so that we'll be in familiar territory here. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that is mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." In other words, he's calling for unity. There's not one rule for me and one rule for you, one guideline for my life and another guideline for your life. We're all walking with the same book. We're all singing off the same page. Are you with me? "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk so as you have us for an ensample." Now, that's different. We usually want to mark the people who are walking different from us, don't we? We want to mark those troublemakers, Brother Jeff. He says, that's not the ones to mark. The ones you mark, the ones you look at, the ones you're thinking about, they're the ones who are doing right. Isn't that a novel idea? Come on. Yeah, it's a good idea. Watch the people who are doing right. For one thing, you won't have as many people to watch. Be an easier job, amen. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, even so as you have us for an example." Why? "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." This is people in the church who are walking in such a way as they actually are becoming enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Oh, it doesn't sound like they're saved people in their case, does it? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, or in other words, they're living for themselves, whose glory is in their shame. That sounds like 2015 to me. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned likened unto his glorious body, according to the working wherewith he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And now for our text. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're grateful for the love that you have shown toward us. We're grateful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the Spirit of God who even now would speak to our hearts and conform us even more to His image. Lord, I pray that you'd make this message to be a blessing to your people tonight, an encouragement to do the right, not only for the good of your church, for the good of your reputation, but for the good of their own lives. And what I ask for them, I ask for myself. Please help us tonight. Show us the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice with me, if you would, Paul's love for these people. In that very first verse, he says, my brethren. It's a family. You know, he was the superintendent. He was not only an apostle, he was the apostle. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And that these people were Gentiles. These are the folks whom the Spirit of God pled for when he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And now he's able to call them brethren. They aren't his subjects. Do you know what? This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. And he graciously has given us an under-shepherd. I've only been around here almost 3 years now, but we don't have a my way or the highway preacher. He's going to tell us the truth. But if you choose not to walk in it, that's your doing. You know, he's not going to come grab you up by the neck and drag you down the aisle or seek to humiliate you, shame you. Neither would the Apostle Paul. My brethren, my dearly beloved. Did you notice that dearly beloved appears twice in that one verse? Twice. I'm reminded of an old song. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. Why? It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in this victory, in this family so dear. Sing the chorus with me. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. Part of the family of God. The family of God. This local church is part of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. If you know the Lord, you're my brother or you're my sister. And whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. You know what? You better like it. Because I'm fixing to tell you why. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now let's shed a little bit of light on this, God helping us. We know that we have passed from death unto life. It does not say you pass from death unto life by love. It doesn't say that. It says you know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. You got it? Then it says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That does not mean he's not saved. It cannot mean that. You know why? It says, he that does not love his, help me, brother. If he's not saved, the man's not his brother. Got it? Yes, you've got it. Doesn't mean he's not saved. It means he's not living in the light. He's not walking in the light. He's not doing the right. You understand what I'm saying? God will let you walk in darkness, even as his child. There's a price to be paid. And I don't have time tonight to go there. This is supposed to be an encouraging message. So let me get on with it. But what I want to say is that we need to love one another. Love one another. After all, it's by our love for one another that the people out in Piedmont know that we belong to him. They could care less that we have a nice building. They have nice buildings. They could care less that we have a school. They got a public school. That's all they want. You know what I mean? And I guarantee you, they know when we don't love one another. I guarantee you they do. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He says, you are my longed for. He wanted to be with them. Did you really? I mean, there's nobody here but us, and this is not testimony time, so don't raise your hand. But did you long to be with the people at church tonight? Were you anxious to get there? To see the people? Or was it just, well, it's Wednesday night and it's the right thing to do and I'm going to go to church? Well, I'm glad if that's the only reason you've got, I'm glad you did it. But I hope you came because you wanted to see the people. You wanted to spend some time with them. You wanted to be their friend. You wanted to encourage them. And maybe you even wanted them to encourage you a little bit. And that's all right. That's why we have one another. To encourage one another. You are my longed for. You are my joy. My joy. Can you imagine? People being your joy. It happens that way. You are my joy now and at Christ's coming. That's exactly what he meant. I don't think Mary even knows. I was greatly encouraged the last time we were back at Bell Point, whenever that was, I don't remember, several months back. One of the ladies that I led to the Lord came up to me. This would have been almost 9 years ago now that I led her to the Lord. But she came up and said, I want to thank you, preacher, for coming to my house and telling me how to be saved. What a joy. If that doesn't make you have joy, what does? And she's still there 9 years later. I think the Bible calls that fruit that remains, preacher. You're my joy. You're my crown. That's as good as it gets. You'll forgive me. I was singing before I was preaching. Must I go and empty-handed? And my dear Redeemer meet. The answer is no. Not one soul with which to greet him. Lay no trophies at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Oh,
the years in sin I've wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. At His feet I'd humbly bow. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go?
No, you don't need to go empty-handed. And friends, I know as well as I'm standing here that there are people in this auditorium tonight who have never sought out a lost person. I mean, of your own volition, you've never sought them out and taken the initiative to share the gospel with them. Please do that. Please do that. You say, they might laugh at me. Let them laugh. You won't die. Well, that'll be embarrassing. So? Is it better that they go to hell having no one tell them how to be saved? You are my joy and my crown, He said, speaking to multitudes of people. Surely we can have one. Not one soul with which to greet Him. God wants something better for you than that. I want something better than you for that. Not only does He greet them in the way that He does, but He also exhorts them. His exhortation is this: stand fast in the Lord. That's kind of been my theme as I talk to my grandkids, preacher. I don't get to see them very much. And the girls, yes, but particularly the boys. Because a couple of the boys, I think three of the boys, think that God's calling them to be a preacher. And I say, stand fast, fella. Know what's right and what's wrong and stick with the right and avoid the wrong. Don't compromise. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Word of God says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. That means if it was wrong in 1950, it's wrong in 2015. If it was right in 1950, it's still right in 2015. That means the Bible is still the Bible. We're not looking for it, we've got it. We're not going to rewrite it, we're going to reread it. Amen. Right is right and wrong is wrong. You make sure you're on the right side. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Now, you don't have to go around with your nose up in the air either and be a snot. Excuse me. Be uncouth. How's that? You know what I mean. Not only that, but He says, get along. Did you get that? He mentions two ladies, and He says that they be of the same mind. Get along. Preacher, I don't know about you, but I spent more time trying to get Christians to get along than just about anything I got to do in the ministry. That's terrible. It's not right. Get along. Do you understand? You get along with Him. And you get along with Him. Let Him be wrong. Right? Let Him be wrong. Big deal. You're not going to argue about whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin. Are you? But you're going to argue over the color of this stinking carpet. Rip it up. Throw straw in the aisle. But don't argue about it. Better yet, when it comes time to have carpet, He will tell us what color carpet we're going to have. Amen. Amen. And you'll like it or lump it. That's how you get along. Brother Danny? Is carpet worth arguing about?
No, sir.
Are petunias on the communion table worth arguing about? What song we didn't sing worth arguing about? No. But those are the kind of silly things we argue about. And that's what these two women were arguing about too. I don't know if it was petunias on the communion table or not, but it was something just as silly. I guarantee you. And yet their division got all the way to where Paul was in Rome. And there was no telephone. No texting. No Facebook. And it got clear over there. Get along. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me, see what you get out of this. This is the Lord Jesus talking. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. What do you think? Sounds like he wants us to get along, doesn't it? And be ye kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How much? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brother Jeff, how much of your sin has God forgiven? How much are you obligated to forgive Aggie? Come on! All of it. Whew, that was hard, wasn't it? Yeah. All of it. Let's say that together. All of it. All means, and that's some of us have a lot of forgiving to do. Don't have time, if I'm going to finish my text, to work on that very much, but you get the point. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are called unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those are the words that preceded that verse. Could it be that the Holy Spirit is grieved in our midst sometimes simply because you got a problem with your neighbor and you're bitter and you're shooting off your mouth, even if you're not shooting off your mouth? Get along. He goes on in verse 3 of our text and says, help people get along. Look at what he says. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored among me. Help them. You know the best way to help people to get along? Who can I pick on? Where's my guy I pick on? Asher, where are you? Oh, there you are, hiding next to your dad. You thought I wouldn't bother you. Now you got me so confused, I don't know what I was going to do. Oh, you know the best way to help people to get along, how to show them? What do you think? Do you think? Yeah, he got it right. You get along. You get along. It'll never be so, folks, that this will work. Don't do as I do. Do as I tell you. That won't work. That will not work. Best way to help somebody get along is to show them how to get along. Demonstrate it. It's like a kindergarten show and tell, right? But you don't know what they did to me. They were wrong. Yeah, I know. That's why you need to forgive them. Right? If they weren't wrong, you wouldn't need to forgive them. Yes. And because they're wrong, you need to forgive them. If they were right, you need to apologize, don't you? Huh? Sure. So forgive them. Help people get along. Then he says, and this is the good part, I think it's all good from here on. I don't remember for sure. Rejoice in the Lord. always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. I'm told by the Greek experts, and I'm not one. I mean, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The Greek runs a restaurant and the Hebrew runs a clothing store. That's the extent of it. But they tell me that this has to do with the word rejoice and it has to do with a greeting. The closest thing we've got to that is, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good, but smile on your face. Good morning. Don't you hate it when you say good morning to me? What's good about it? Has that ever happened to you? What does that do to you? Yeah, this throws water all over you, doesn't it? Somebody is wanting you to have a good morning. Good morning. What's good about it? That's exactly the opposite of how to be happy. You're not only miserable when you say what's good about it, but you're trying to make somebody else miserable too. That's not the way we do it, folks. Now, he says, live moderately. You say, where do you say that? He says it in verse 5. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation. Moderation is a balance within that which is right. Think about it for a moment. Moderation is a balance within that which is right. Do you know anybody who's gone to seed on a certain subject? I mean, they're right on it, but that's all they know. That's all they care about. Some preachers, that's all they preach. Some teachers, that's all they teach. You know what I mean? Moderation. Balance. Be a balanced Christian. Don't run people off. Tell them the truth, yes. But don't go up to some guy's house who's lost, Asher, and he's sitting there smoking a stogie or something. And you run up and say, man, don't you know that's going to send you to hell? What are you doing that for? Well, you're wrong. He's not going to go to hell because he's smoking a cigar. He's going to smell like he's been there, but he's not going there because of it. Why do people go to hell, class? Because they have failed to accept the Lord as their Savior, yes. Not for smoking cigars. But you are so adamant against cigars and cigarettes. Or maybe it's booze. That's not their problem. Their problem is not what they do or don't do, aside from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let us be temperate. And I'm not referring to the lack of alcoholic drink, although that's a wonderful idea. Since you brought it up, right? Don't give yourself to worry. Where's it say that? Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean drive down the street like Yehu, okay? Running through all the lights, going 75 through downtown. Doesn't mean that. It means don't get all bent out of shape and anxious about things. And I don't know anybody who doesn't do that, including the preacher tonight. I must want to be miserable, because it sure makes me miserable when I am. You know what I've found? Most of the stuff I'm all anxious about and all bent out of shape about never happens. All it has done is make me miserable, and I've lost sleep over it. And then Mary's grouchy the next day. I've noticed that when I lose sleep. If you don't get that, please tell me and I'll straighten it out for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now, Brother Edgy, what do you suppose the words "in everything" mean? Okay. Is there another way we could express it? In everything. Yes. Great. My A student. Bible says what it means and means what it says, right? In everything. That means there is no exclusion. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By prayer, that is oral or formed in the mind, having thought and expression. It's there. It's your brain and your spirit and your soul communicating with God deliberately. Supplication has to do with your petitions and your requests. You need something, tell Him. Not to inform Him, for your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of, right? But He's commanded you to ask. He says you don't have because you don't ask. So why are you and I so bullheaded we don't ask? Huh? We must not want to be happy. We must not want to have joy. Look at all the things we do we're not supposed to do. And all the things we don't do that we are supposed to do. If we really want to have joy. He says, with thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving has to do with praising God. We don't sing the doxology around here, and I'm kind of glad. I got burned out on the doxology when I was a Southern Baptist, where we sang it every Sunday morning. Anybody else ever have that experience? Yes. It's a great idea to praise God from whom all blessings flow. But it ought to come from the heart, not just out of the hymn book. And that's what this is talking about. Praise God. Did you know that God is good? God is good. God is good all the time. God's good when the sun shines. And God's good when it rains. God's even good when it snows. God's good when we have so much ice we can't even get to church. God's good. And He's always good to His people. Always. Never an exception to that. He always gives us what we need. And some things we want. If we'll do that, what He's saying here, the result will be you'll keep your heart. And you need your heart kept. And I need my heart kept. I need this old physical heart kept because it's what pumps life to everything else in my body, right? The life is in the blood, and the heart pumps the blood around. Got it? Now put that in the spiritual sense. Your spiritual heart must be healthy. Because that heart of yours is what makes you love and hate and smile and frown. Every emotion and thought that you have, it's the real you. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Paul has some final thoughts, but don't get too excited because I've got a whole page of notes on it. His final thoughts are these. Watch what you think about. And this is the biggie. Probably the most important part of the message tonight is this. Watch what you think about. I remind you that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. If you're going to be a complaining old grump in your thinking, it isn't going to matter what you manage to push out your mouth. He says, whatsoever things are true, that is, not concealing, the bare truth. Whatsoever thing is really the truth. Think on that. Whatsoever things are honest or honorable. Have your thoughts today been on honorable things? Whatsoever things are just or right. Have you been thinking about right things today? Just things? Whatsoever things are pure, innocent, modest, chaste, clean. Those are the things we're supposed to think on. I already know if I'm going to think on those things, I'm not going to have my television on any program I've seen in anybody's house. And I'm not here to bang your TV. I'm here to help you learn how to be happy and have joy. And the key, he says, is to think on things. And he's telling us what to think on. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Things that are good news. You got some good news? Huh? You got any good news at all? Sure. Amen. We've got a lot of good news. But you know what most of us are thinking about? We're thinking about the lousy cotton-picking president we've got. Oh, talking politics! You better believe it. Yep. I would if he was a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. But he's what we got. And we're going to have to live with what he has caused. But you know what? You will rot away, and so will I, if I allow myself to sit around and think about him all the time. I'm already getting red ears just talking about it. Am I not? Yes. That's why I can't think about stuff like that. God's telling me don't think on those things. Does that mean stick your head down in the sand? No, you know that. But you don't have to sit around and think about it all the time. You've got good things to think about, honest things to think about, and it sure couldn't be him then, could it? And it's only going to get worse. I didn't say why, but you know why, don't you? Things that are filled with virtue. Believe it or not, and there again, the big boys tell me that this has to do with proper manliness. It's talking about the virtue, a virtuous man. Praise, a commendable thing. Remember what was his Thumper? Now, this is not in some Bibles now anymore, but it used to be. Remember who Thumper is? You know who Thumper is? Okay, all right. What did his mother say? Thumper, what did your father say? And Thumper says, about what? About other people? You know what he said? If you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Remember reading that? No, but you remember hearing it. If you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. A commendable thing. Remember what you have been taught. The things that you've learned, he says, and received. Learned and understood. The things that this man teaches you in your Sunday school class. The things that that man teaches you from the pulpit. They're not hard to understand. They're true to the Bible. And if you have the average brain, or maybe even a little less, you can comprehend it. And if you've done that, then you've learned it. Right? You've understood it and you've learned it. Then do it. That's what he's saying. The things that you have received, associating with yourself, everything you've received, you're responsible for. To whom much is given, much is required. It'd be a terrible thing to wind up going to hell from Victory Baptist Temple. What else could be clearer than how to get to heaven? Be a sad thing to have to answer to the Lord for some of the conduct of our lives, leaving from here. But we're supposed to be doing that. And when we have it, then we're responsible for it. And if you know these things, can you complete my scripture? Happy are ye if you do them. Doesn't say you're happy if you know them. Matter of fact, you're probably more miserable if you know them and don't do them than if you don't know them. Would you agree? Sure. Because you have not only the consequences of what not obeying them does, but you have the guilt of knowing you're not doing it. So you got to be more miserable, come to think about it. The things that you've received and learned and heard and seen. And in whom did they see it, class? Can you find it in the text? In me, he says, Paul speaking. Again, don't do as I do. Do as I tell you. Paul's saying, do as I do. He even said, follow me as I follow Christ. Do them, he says. Do them. And this do is a command. It has to do with not only your doing it, but expecting the people around you to do it. Kind of sounds like standards, doesn't it, brother? Again, I need to tell you again what standards are. And if you already know, forgive me, because there's probably somebody who doesn't know. We are not responsible before God for keeping standards. I can't believe you said that. Listen to me. What we are responsible before God for is convictions. A conviction is, thus saith the Lord. Okay? A conviction, for example, would be, it is wrong for a man to have long hair. Where did I get that wild idea?
Amen.
From the Bible. Doth not even nature itself teach you that it is a shame for a man to have long hair? That is a Bible conviction. Are you with me? Anybody doesn't understand that? That's a Bible conviction. It's not a standard. To help us to obtain and maintain our conviction, we set a standard. And the standard, I mean, I don't know what the standard is here. I don't think it's written down, okay? But we understand. Would you say I have long hair or short hair? Short hair, okay. Would you say that Denise has long hair or short hair? She has long hair. So we're going to set a standard that a man's haircut should be, we'll say, just for sake of argument, we're going to say it should not be over his collar. Okay? That's our standard. Does that mean that if you have one that comes a quarter of an inch over your collar, you're a terrible sinner? Does it mean that you're not saved? No. It means you're not meeting the standard, which puts you more liable to violate what? The conviction. The biblical conviction. The things that you've seen and heard, do. And expect others to do them. It is not hard. There's not one thing that I know of anyway, not one thing I've learned in 3 years of being here that's any different than any other good, solid, independent, Baptist, Bible-believing church. There's no different. And nobody's being mean-spirited, you know, calling people up and reading them the riot act. I'll tell you what, that is done some places. Much to the shame of the Lord and the church both. Why not cooperate? Why not do right because God wants you to? Why not go beyond what you're asked to do? Some of the men that I work for have said this. If your conviction is higher than mine, your standard is higher than mine, then you go by your standard. But if mine is higher than yours, you go by mine. As long as you're in this ministry. And that's only right. And folks, is that wrong for any of us? Well, I think you ought to be able to have your hair this long. Okay, go ahead and think that. But if you're going to be around here, how about just cooperating and obeying the higher standard? Okay? And I promise you, if we get to heaven and the Lord Jesus says, you guys were all wet about that hair thing. I really didn't mean it when I said a man was supposed to not have long hair. And preacher understands that. You'll apologize, won't you, preacher?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be working on my apology speech if I were you. In other words, he's just asking you to do the Bible. That's all. Just obey the Bible. From the heart. Think on good things. Fill your heart with good things. Work on living a life that's a good testimony for the Lord. And make sure that you're not going to stand before Him empty-handed. You don't have to be empty-handed. You can have hands so full. Amen?